As we move into our time of worship, I'd like to welcome those who are out there on the internet, on Facebook, and several of the other places. Ryan just told me that we are now on another site, and praise God, we are definitely moving in our technology and getting the word out there. And to me, that is a great blessing, that we can be a blessing to so many in our community and throughout the world. Well, as you know, last week I began speaking on discipleship is real spiritual growth. And then I began breaking down how that spiritual growth is intentional, and that spiritual growth being intentional has to have a plan. And we have a plan here at our church. And all of you know it because it's our vision statement: to love God, love others, and go. Now, I began the process and I walked into the first part, which is the fact that as we come, we teach you through the worship service to love God. That's why we sing praise songs. That is why we worship the Lord. That's why we read the scriptures. That's why we pray, and that's why we preach. So that you may learn to love God. And then, as we learn to love God and you move into the ministries, one of the next things that happen is you begin to get connected with the church and you begin to get involved in some of the discipleship that is taking place, whether it be Bible study or discipleship class, men's ministry, women's ministry, youth ministry, whatever happens to be the way you are wired. Because I want you all to understand, no two of us do it the same. But there has to be a plan in place, because if you do not plan, you have literally planned to fail, okay? So you have a plan whether you know it or not. You either have a plan to succeed or a plan to fail, because even if you fail while you have a plan, what does failure in a plan equate? A way of knowing how not to do something, amen? Because now I know that didn't work, so let's go back and try something else. It's really kind of neat. God does not see failure the way the world sees failure. God sees failure as the next step. It teaches us something. That's the awesomeness about God. He doesn't say, stay in your pity. He says, now get up. You've learned something valuable. You learned how not to do something, so let's find the right way. And for each of us, some of those steps are going to be a little different. Like I said, the first step we have here is simply loving God. And then through the discipleship, you'll also learn that if you're going to love God, you've got to love others. You really do have to love others. And then we get into the reality of where I left off. Because when I left off, I was at that second level. Because at this level, something begins to happen to an individual. Because normally when people start coming to church, when they first receive the Lord, they know him as Savior, okay? And everybody thinks that's up here. Well, it's not. Savior is right about here. It is what gets us into grace, okay? It is what gets us into eternity. But we're not done, all right? What we need to remember is there's another step. And most of us don't realize that there's another step, because we have to accept not only the fact that he died on the cross for us, but that he is also Lord. He is Lord and Savior. He has saved us from our own sin, but now he has a way that he wants us to follow, because his way is right. He says, I am the truth and I am the truth, the way, and the life. We all need to understand that, okay? I am the truth, the way, and the life. And as we come to that truth, we learn to love him. As we come to the way, we learn to love others. And as we come to life, we begin to bring that message of life to others. It's a three-step process, and it's a three-step discipleship. So when we get to that place where we finally realize Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, now I need to serve him. One of the things that we need to understand is that serving Christ means serving who? Others. Because if you're not involved with others, you're not serving Christ, you're serving yourself. If you're not involved in other people's lives, you're not involved in the work that Jesus Christ came to do. Jesus Christ didn't come to save himself, Jesus Christ came to save others. And we too need to be at that same place. And that leads us to where I left off, because here, when we come to that place of realizing that Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, and the life, at that point, somewhere along that spiritual growth process, somewhere through that discipleship reality, this comes into our lives and we breach into the third level. And the third level of commitment that I look at, that we look at, is what I like to call, because if you remember, I called the first level of commitment the, does anybody remember what I called it? The crowd, okay? That's where everybody comes in and you have this sense that you need to be here. Then the second level of commitment is called what? The committed, because now they have committed to becoming disciples of Christ. The third level of commitment is called the commissioned, okay? Because the commissioned are those who go out and they bring into, or excuse me, that's the fourth level. It's the core, blah. The core, the commissioned is the fourth level. And believe me, there are four levels. There's three processes, but there are four levels because this third process brings us into the core. And the core are those who not only do they begin into a discipleship role, but at some point in time, these wonderful people begin to understand that they need to be involved in service. That there is more for them than just taking in. Okay, this is where, if you remember, I spoke about the Jordan and, or excuse me, the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. The Sea of Galilee is alive because the Jordan River comes in from the north, dumps into the sea, and then it pours out on the south side, continues again. But where does it end up? It ends up in the Dead Sea because the Dead Sea has no exit. The Dead Sea is actually below zero, okay? When I say below zero, what do I mean by that? It's below sea level. A lot of people don't understand that. It literally, in Israel, the Dead Sea is below sea level. So if the oceans were to flood, it would fill that area up, okay? But it can't because of the mountainous region between the Dead Sea and the Red Sea. There is no way for the water to flow uphill. It is at its lowest point. And I think it's amazing because that mimics what happens in life. Because in life, God pours into us and then we're to pour out into others. But if we don't pour out, we become dead. Remember, the Dead Sea is below sea level. Below the grave is underground. It is dead. There is nothing alive in it. Okay? So we need to remember that that is a wonderful picture of just who we're supposed to be. Because as we get involved, we become involved in the worship team, or we become involved in ushering. We become involved in, and you can name the places where you want to worship again or want to minister. Again, remembering each of us is wired differently. You are wired with the gifts that God has given you. Okay? And each of us needs to operate within those gifts. So if you have the gift of gab, you may be a good teacher. Okay? If you have the gift of hospitalities, you may be good in our... I'm trying to think, what's the name of your ministry, Missy? Hospitality, thank you. Don't ask me. It's the hospitality team. It's like, it just would not come to me. That is so stupid. If your gift is hospitality, you're going to become part of the what? The hospitality team. That only makes sense. But as we move in our giftedness, God has a place for us. We don't all have the gift of hospitality, or we would have a very hospitable place, but we would have nothing to hospit them with. Does that make sense? So, you know, we all need to operate in our gifts, whether it's, you know, and some of you people, I think it's kind of funny because you think, well, I'm really not, you know, I don't know what my gift is. Yes, you do. What do you like to do? You know, I think it's funny because I think about Miss Nancy back there. She's one of those people who sits back. She doesn't like to be in the limelight, so pastor's putting her in the limelight. That's why she sits in the back row. She likes to hide. But she's one of those people who has the gift that she can produce things with her hands. She is so crafty and just, you know, how many of you have seen the things that she and Tina produce, you know, for the snack table? I mean, come on. If you're going to eat it, I ain't making that much of a fuss over it, all right? But the things that they produce and set out there, they not only taste good, they look awesome. And it looks inviting, doesn't it? It makes you feel good about yourself that somebody took that kind of time and care to give you something so nice that you're going to shove in your face and you know, think nothing of. But we do think something of it, don't we? We do. It means something to all of us. You mean something to God. And when you share that, we all get to participate in it, and it makes our lives all the better. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And that's what happens in this core process. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if it weren't for the core, the church would not be able to move. You are the ministers of the church. I am simply the pastor of the church. I am the one who is here to encourage and teach and prepare. I make sure that the ministries are developed and that we are moving you somewhere, all right? I'm not the teachers. Bob just taught today in the adult class. Next week, Brother David's teaching in the adult class. And then the following week after that, it's either going to be Brother or Sister Mary, Brother Wendell. It's going to be Brother Wendell, and then it'll be Marion, and then I think it's me, okay? So we rotate it. Why? Because we have such a wonderful gift of teachers. We don't want it to just be one. We want you to experience all of our different ways of teaching. Each of us is different in the way we present something. Each of you is different in the way you do things. And that's what we need. We need the congeality of Christ in our lives, but the individuality of all of us. Okay? Together we form a body. The entire body is not a nose. Could you imagine if we all just looked like a nose? Yeah, or functioned as a nose. That's it. Everything would stink, wouldn't it? Oh my gosh, did you smell that? Aren't you glad it's only one of the senses? Because if all you had was a nose, you couldn't eat. If all you had was a nose, you couldn't hear. You couldn't partake of music. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't think I've ever smelled music. I have felt music. How many of you feel music? How many of you hear music? How many of you speak music? Okay? I've never seen anybody smell music. So we need it all, or something's missing. I need you. God needs you. This church needs you. And there are people out there who aren't here yet, and we need them. We are not whole. For we are not yet fully developed. That time will come when we all reach glory and the kingdom is brought in, because the fullness of everyone that God would have will be there. Then we will be complete. Then we will be complete. And not until. And I think it's funny because it's not even at the millennium. Please understand. It's not when the millennium starts. We're not full at that point in time. We're not complete at that point in time. Because Christ is reigning here on earth to bring the Jews to the place where they're supposed to be. To fulfill all the promises to the Jews. We'll not be complete until after the last judgment, when eternity rolls around. And we will be with God, and God will be with us forever. And there will be a new heavens and a new earth, and we will be with God forever. That's when it's complete. We got a long way to go. But the reality is, that long way is going to go like that. Because our short time is a short time in the scope of eternity. And if you look around in our world, you see things coming to that utter and dismal end. But when we come here and we begin to rely on these core people to run the church, all of a sudden, we begin to see that, hey, Bobby and I may be the head elders in our church, but guess what? There are four other elders. And then there's a whole score of deacons. And then there's a whole score of ministry leaders. And then there's a whole score of those who are support ministry under that. And then there's the congregation. And you help as well. Because if it weren't for you, we couldn't do any of this, because you're the ones who supply the financial necessity for us to be able to do it, as God has blessed you. Can I get an amen? So you, if you're in this church, you are somewhere in this process of these three. And our ultimate goal, because at this place, you are at the epitome of loving others, okay? You have loved God. You love God. You understand how important that is. Now you are at the place where you know, if I love God, I have to love others. I have to serve. But then there's one more step. And that step is the final step, and it is called the committed. Okay? Commissioned. I had to look at my notes. My words are getting flustered today. Rick's laughing at me. He says, yep, he's getting older. As you step into the commission, these are people who have really gotten hold of God's plan for their life, and they have found the area to serve. They understand God calling on their life, and that God has commissioned them as a church to go out into the world. We have understood. We have come to the place where we now understand. We have loved God. We have loved each other, and we have loved our community by sending into our missions and getting involved in our local community in such a way. But God is not done with us until we are willing to go ourselves. Because we are called by God to go ye as you are going. This is what the scripture says. As you are going, as you are living your life, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you until the very end. That's God's word to us. And that's what happens when you become a commissioned person. Now, some of you think to yourselves, well, no, the commissioned people, they're the ones that we lay hands on out here. That's a different type of commissioned person. If you are plugged into ministry and you have been put over a ministry, you are commissioned. If you are involved in a ministry, we just started a new one. We're calling it our prayer walk ministry. Okay, it's part of missions. Would the three people in charge of our new ministry please stand up? Go ahead, you're okay. Dennis says me. That's cool. We have Dennis, Miss Amy, and Miss Missy. These three have been set apart to make this ministry happen. They're going to need some of you to come under them, to help them make this ministry happen. Okay? We're going to be meeting in the next day or so, hopefully before I go away, because we were going to try and meet today, but it doesn't work for all three of us. So what we're going to do is hopefully get together tomorrow or possibly Tuesday. It's going to have to be Tuesday. We have elders meeting tomorrow. So it's going to have to be Tuesday. Missy, can we meet at your house at 7 o'clock? I'm just putting them on the spot. You're going to be there? Awesome. Can you be there, Dennis? Cool. You like how I just did that? You need to understand, you don't want me in charge. Because if I'm in charge, that's the kind of stuff that's going to happen. All right? I'm going to put you on the spot because it has to happen. If you're in charge, you get to take the control and move it into your lives that you make it fit for you. Pastor's life is so busy with all the things that I have going on. This past Friday was my day off, all right? I had to go visit somebody because they were in the hospital with broken ribs it's collarbone, right? Scapula? Okay, broken scapula. Is that the collarbone or is that another bone? Oh, that's the one in the back. Oh, that's the big bone. Oh, man, I thought it was this little one here. Mine was broke, but if it's the big one, oh, I can understand why she's in pain. That's Miss Teresa. Please remember, she's also on blood thinner. She is bruised like you wouldn't believe. Keep her in your prayers. That can be dangerous, okay? But I love to go see her. I was driving there, and I get a phone call. Pastor, I need you. What's up? Leslie's dad fell. They told her, you better get here tonight. He may not make it to tomorrow. I said, I'm on my way to Lancaster General right now. I said, can I meet up with you a little bit later? I will take you in. She didn't want to go by herself, and Steve was on his rounds. So I left Ed and Teresa and Jen and the family. I met her brother and sister. prayed with Teresa, took off. I got down with Leslie, and I sat with her and her dad for 2.5 hours because she didn't want to be there alone. That's why they're not here today. I have a lot to do. I am the pastor of the church. I accept that call. Do you accept yours? I need you to walk in your call. God is calling each and every one of you into a commissioned place. God commissions you, not me. But when I see God walking in your life, I am going to tell you, leader, 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 because God has set you there, not me. And we, the elders, operate that way, don't we, folks? When we see God raising people up, what do? We confirm it. We commission it. That's our job. That you, the church, would be the church. Because only the church can be the church. If a pastor's the church, it has failed already. If the elders are the church, it's on its way out. But when we realize we who are in the congregation, we are the church. We've sung the song, I am the church, you are the church. I don't know the song. Yeah, we are the church together. Yeah. Here's the church and here's the steeple. Open the door and here's the people. Everybody thinks the church is a building. It's not. The people are the church. I'm glad we don't have a facility. If we had a facility, do you know what we would be doing right now? Yeah. Nothing. Because it would cost us so much to pay for a building and pay for the upkeep and pay for the maintenance, we'd already be bankrupt. How about it, Brother Rick? God has blessed us to be where we are as we are because this is where He wants us until it's time for something else. Because we need to learn. He's teaching us what it means to be the church. The people of Israel didn't understand what it meant to be the church. They wanted the promised land. They didn't realize that they were the children of promise. The promised land was wherever they stood. Because God was there. I mean, come on. These people had a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of smoke by day, hovering over the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord was in the tabernacle, and we want the land of promise. You're standing on it. You are now the temple of God. Do you understand that? That's what being a commissioned person really means, that you have come to the full reality that God dwells in you and that He wants you to get out there into the world. He wants you to take this message out from this place, not this place, from this place into the world. And it starts here in the congregation. But then it goes to your workplace, it goes to your neighborhood, it goes to you, goes with you when you go to a restaurant. You know, one of the most amazing stories I've ever been told is a gentleman who was a great evangelist. He was at a restaurant one day, and when the waitress came over to give them their check, she said, is there anything more that I can do for you? They said, no, we're good. If you have the check, we'll be fine. So she handed them the check, and as she handed the check, the gentleman took her hand, didn't take the check, took her hand and said to her, now, we've been served well. Now it's our turn to serve you. How can we pray for you? Well, the young lady was flabbergasted because, number one, this guy wouldn't let her go. And she realized he really meant what he said. Well, this young lady happened to be in a situation where she really did have a need. And this gentleman would not let her go until they prayed. And as they're standing there, her manager's watching, you know, because, hey, they got to be about everything, right? Her manager's watching, and they prayed with her right there in the facility. And he prayed out loud, and he literally spoke what her need was. Now, that can be embarrassing, but the reality is He didn't care about it being embarrassing. He wanted to impress her. He wanted her to know God cares about her every need. Well, her need was one of such that he was able to help, and he left a huge tip. But what we all don't understand was she had been serving so many others, and when they prayed and heard what her need was, that day, in that restaurant, in that moment, she received $3,500 in tips. God knows what we need. And God says, if you will just take me out there, I will reach my people. But you have to take me. This is the way I've chosen for it to go. I can go on my own, but I need flesh on my reality. You are the flesh, just as Christ was the flesh of our reality. That's the kind. Of commitment that discipleship brings. That's the spiritual growth that discipleship brings. You see, God never took anything away when he brought the cross, but God raised the bar. I want you to think about Jesus when he was in his ministry, because during his ministry, he would constantly be raising the bar on these people. It actually got to a point. Now, this scripture isn't on the screen, but I'm going to speak it. If you guys are able to put it up, please do so. Turn in your Bibles, because I've forgotten, blew completely through the scriptures that were supposed to be on the screen, and which is a shame, because we were hoping to use some new technology and Pastor blew that. But turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We're going to be in 53 through 60. And I know, guys, you're going to take a moment to get there, but that's okay. You go right ahead. You take your time. I will wait until you get there. John chapter 6. Verses 53 through 60. Again, I apologize to the people out there. I was supposed to have slides up there to remind us of the scriptures that we were going over, but I also know I wanted to get through what I needed to preach today, because I have Brother David preaching next week, and he's all set to go. John chapter 6, beginning in the 53rd verse, these are the words we read, and we're going to read through 60, okay, from 53. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. For he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever." These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard it, said, "This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it?" The scripture goes on then to tell us that many people stopped following him after that day because it was such a hard teaching. They didn't understand it. They thought he was speaking physically when he was speaking spiritually. That we need to take into ourselves the body and blood of Christ. We do that through the Word of God, through communion with him, as we use his Word in our lives to change us to become who we're supposed to be. This is spiritual food and spiritual drink. For us, we partake of it at the table when we partake of communion. Is the life that we have in a piece of bread and a little bit of grape juice? Absolutely not. The life we have is in the bread of heaven, he who came down out of heaven, and the blood of his suffering, his going to the cross for us, and us receiving that. It's spiritual food. When Jesus spoke this to the people, it raised to the highest level that they were ever going to understand what had to happen, and they couldn't do it, and they left because they did not understand. They did not have the Holy Spirit to teach them. They did not have the discipleship that was necessary to be brought under the Word to understand that teaching in its fullness. Without discipleship, none of you would understand that word. In Christ Jesus, how many of you understand that word? You know, to understand it means you also have to come under it. So if you truly understand it, it means you need to do what it says, not just hear it. That's what it means to be commissioned. Jesus raises the level. He doesn't lower it. And as Jesus raises that level, we find that there is more hope, more glory, and more life than we could ever, ever, ever hope for. Jesus is the plan for our salvation. He told us, love God, love others, and go. As we do that, we grow in our discipleship, we grow in our spiritual growth, and we grow as a church and a community. And nothing under heaven and nothing above earth can stop us. Do you understand that? Nothing. The only thing that can defeat us is our own selves. Fear and doubt. And how often they creep in. Amen? But we must cast them out. And we learn to cast them out by walking with one another. Which brings me to the reality that spiritual growth is a process. Spiritual growth does not happen overnight. Spiritual growth happens as there is a plan to move forward. Spiritual growth happens because you become committed to a way of life. Jesus Christ is that way. He is the only way. There is no other way to heaven but by Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? As we understand that and as we commit to what he has taught us, we need to understand this church, these elders, this pastor, these deacons and leadership are committed to what we know. Love God, love others, and go. For as we do these things, God will raise up in us and will raise us up. Not that it's about us, but it is about Christ in us. Amen, Brother Mitch? Amen. I mean, you know, I want you to think about what just happened here with Brother Mitch. You know, he's telling us that we're going to be an example for the international. Okay? That they're going to tell everybody, this is the way you need to do it. This is what happens. And if you follow the process, you know, the fact that we did the trainings after each weekend and to prep for it and what have you, oh, that was just spectacular. And the outcome, how you guys turned out, you know, and in 2 weeks, well, yeah, 2 weeks, we're going to be doing it again. I cannot wait to see how many of you show up on the 30th. We are going to meet over at my place. That's where we're going to be. But, you know, the routes that we're going to take, we're going to determine on Tuesday, okay? We're going to meet over in that area somewhere, park along the street, and we're going to go out from there. That's why I said the actual location we'll let you know next week, possibly, because the others will be giving that to you. But I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, we want you to be prepared, okay? One of the things you need to understand, and I spoke this today, how can we who understand this process not become part of the process if we're not being intentional, okay? But again, this process needs to be taken step by step. Some of us aren't ready to do some of this stuff, and that's okay. But as you are prepared, there is material here for you to use. Okay, we have the cards. You can take a bunch of them with you. We have 1,000 of them. We'll print more. Hand them out to people. Introduce our church. Take my business card. That's what it's there for. The Bible sitting there on the table. All right, everybody thinks that they're there for worship service. No, they are there for worship service, but they're also there for you to take and give to somebody. If you know somebody that does not have a Bible, give it to them. All right? If somebody walks in this door and we have no idea who they are and they come in and they don't have a Bible with them, one of the questions somebody in this church better be asking them is, do you have a Bible? Because if they don't, you better be gifting them with one. One of those black Bibles sitting right over there. It's a process. And unless they have the tools, they can't begin the process. While you're out there in your walk and you are going, We have the little testaments. Next week, there's going to be a pile of them out here. If you want to take two or three of them, put them in your pocket so that you have them as you're walking and you have a conversation with somebody and you say to them, hey, do you know Jesus Christ? Well, no, not really. What are you talking about? You can lead them through the plan of salvation and hand them that word and say, this is yours. I want you to read this. Give them the word of God. Begin their process. But we too have to begin the process. And the process is what David is going to begin speaking about next week. Because part of that process is how we ourselves look at this. The church has to have a plan for everybody. But the only plan the church should ever have is the plan Jesus Christ gave us. Is that an amen? If there's any other plan, it's not the plan. Jesus didn't say, I'm one of the ways. He said, I am the way. Amen. And we need to follow what he has led us to. So today, I simply speak to you this. As we grow, and as we understand that there is a process, these steps can be summarized in this manner. Knowing Christ, that's where it starts, right? Loving Christ. And then growing in Christ by loving others, and then serving others in Christ. Do you see how that works? First, you have to learn to grow in Christ by loving others, and then you begin to serve others. Okay? First, it's getting involved with others. The second thing is serving others. And then finally, taking that out and sharing Christ as we go. Do you see the process? This is not something I created. This is something God has delivered unto the church. It is a very simple, simple theology. It is a very simple, simple practice. We have to know him. We have to love him. We have to learn to love others. Because I'm going to tell you right now, how many of you here right now love everybody you come into contact with? Because I can guarantee you, if any of you tell me, and Miss Gloria just said I do, so I'm going to pop her bubble. If any of you tell me, oh, well, I do, the question to that is there anybody that you have ever spoken a word of hate against? Because if there is, you don't love everybody. But it's a place we need to grow into. And I think it's neat because you and I have spoken and you have told me how God has truly convicted you with that, hasn't he? So you are growing in it, aren't you? Still growing. But see, that's the neat thing. That's why she raised her hand, because she has learned or is learning. I need to stop, and he needs to be more, right? See, that's discipleship. That's spiritual growth. But all of us have that place where we need to get beyond where we are to where Christ wants us to be. And that only happens as we practice what we preach. Love God. Love others, and go. Would you pray with me this day? Father God, all of this that we've been speaking of this day and throughout the days are of you and from you and are you. For Lord, there is no other word that leads to life than the word of Jesus Christ. So Lord Jesus, we thank you for the day that you have given us. We thank you for the sun that is shining outside, but more importantly, Lord, for the sun that is shining in our hearts. For it is truly your love, your compassion, your mercy that goes out from us, that brings us to that place of understanding and receiving true life. And the fact that we have the ability to pass on that gift, that it is simply you working in someone else's life. So Lord, may we be that gift. May we be your servants. And may we be the hands, the feet, and the words of Christ Jesus to our world. Watch over us, Lord. Keep us, protect us, and empower us by thy might, that we may truly be the church of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.